welcome to the Apple Juice Show. This is episode 16 for Sunday, August 17th, 2008. And I am George Drange, your host, like always. And today we have another guest. So why don't I let you introduce yourself, Nick?
Hi, I'm Nick Omadi. I'm from Australia.
Yeah, so Nick is actually trying to get into blogging and podcasting. So, I mean, I said, well, why don't I have you on the show? You can hear what a podcast, I mean, I don't know if he's ever been on another podcast, but I just said, sure, come on my podcast. Or actually, he was the one, I already told him to come on the podcast. So, that's good about Nick. Apple's on fire. And I am not kidding you. Apple, on Tuesday night at 10 p.m., Apple's building, one of their buildings, started bursting into flames. Did you hear about that, Nick?
Yeah, I did.
Yes, and if I do recall, it's gonna cost $2 million to repair, Nick?
I didn't see what the price was. I just read about it, that, you know, firefighters, some 66 firefighters went or something like that.
Yeah, what I heard in a tweet was, all right, yes, so here I'm reading from Macworld. Apple's fire caused $2 million in damage, fire department says. So, I mean, different fire, like three, it was a three alarm fire, so that means that three different fighters had to come out from three different cities, and Santa Clara was one of them. And so, I mean, it broke out at 10 p.m. in the Valley Green Drive, which is right across from Apple's main campus on Infinite Loop. Like, mostly it was like the water and smoke. When the water was putting it out, I mean, it did all the damage. It took like 2.5 hours to extinguish the flames. I mean, so $2 million is quite a bunch of money, but I mean, I think that Apple will be able to repair this within time. I mean, it's not going to happen it's not going to be fixed within the next like 2 days. I mean, what I'm saying. So, I mean, it'll be up soon. But people have been saying is that it's housing Apple's research and development. What also caused the fire was that there was construction work being done on the roof, where workers are welding the roof together on the building. So that's Apple's $2 million damage. Also, earlier this week, or actually Friday, was the 10th anniversary of the iMac. Did you hear about that, Nick?
No, I didn't actually.
Well, it was the 10th anniversary of the iMac. So, I mean, that was a big thing, because if you remember when they had the G, I believe the G3s, all those different color Macs, the blue, the purple.
Yeah, one of them.
Yeah, you have one of them?
I had.
Oh, I still have mine, and mine's orange, so I can take some pictures of
blue.
I can take some pictures of that and put them up. Also, on Friday, or was this was Thursday, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Mac OS X 10.5.5 was ceded to the developers. So, I mean, that's going to be great when it comes out, because I've been having a lot of bugs. I mean, most of my applications have been like not responding, and hopefully Apple can fix that. Have you been having any problems with your update?
No, not really. I just get it after a while, everything will just kind of hang, or the computer will kind of freeze or something. I have to restart it, but that's after like 3-4 days of it running.
Yeah, that's exactly what you're saying is what's happening to me. I don't restart my computer every day. And I think I should start restarting it like at least every other day, because I just keep it constantly running. And when I try to open up an application, it doesn't open. Like, or if I open up iTunes, like I have to force quit it immediately. So I've been having problems with there. Also recently, Quick was announced on the iPhone 3G. How great was that? And I know we both, or actually I got it, and I put up some videos, which I will talk about in a minute. How are you liking Quick for a first time Quick user, Nick?
Well, I think it's pretty awesome. We don't actually have any video recording applications for the iPhone yet, and it goes straight to the internet and it works really well over 3G, like amazingly well over 3G. And it's so easy. You just push record and it's all you're doing, and you get the chat messages up the bottom, and great.
Yeah, so I mean, in order to do that, I mean, you guys are thinking, all right, it's in the App Store. Hooray. No, it's not in the App Store. You have to go out and you have to get the Pwnage tool, I believe. Or actually, I don't believe. You have to get the Pwnage tool and you download it, and then you have to it builds you the firmware that I mean, so it gets the firmware off of your computer that's somewhere on your computer that you've already downloaded. And then it builds onto that with the installer.app and Cydia. Cydia, is it right? Cydia? Cydia?
Cydia, and now they give you an installer.
Yeah, Cydia and installer. And so I did that yesterday. Or actually, I did that Friday. Friday the 15th is when I jailbroke it, and I have now restored it back. I was having some trouble with it, so I restored it back to the normal firmware. So also, for those of you in the Orlando area that care, Saturday the August 16th, the Altamont Springs Apple Store opened up. Hooray. I was, I believe, 30th, around there in the 30s in line. I got there at 8 in the morning, 8:30, and the store did not open till 10. I mean, but there were, I mean, it was the best experience I've ever had at an Apple Store grand opening. I mean, all the crew was running around, and they were slapping your hands, giving you high fives, and they were singing and recording video, interviewing. They interviewed me. They asked me what was my favorite part of a Mac, and how long have I been using Macs, and different things like that. So I mean, so it was a great experience, and that's why I jailbroke my thing to Quick it. So if you guys go to quick.com/GDRAGE, same as my Twitter. You guys can look at the three or four videos that I've taken. Also, I mean, so it was so great to see so many people with the iPhone there. I mean, there was two lines, non-iPhone people, which I was in, and iPhone people that were getting an iPhone. And so, I mean, they opened up the store at 10 o'clock, and we were just walking in, and I had my quick streaming, and I was like, everybody, all the Apple people were looking at me, and I was like going high five to all the people. So, I mean, it was a really great experience. I mean, so if you were there, thank you for going. And I mean, thank you for meeting me or whatever. I know we had a while back Sean Quinn, SD Quinn on Twitter, and sdquinn.com is his website. He was there, and I met him for the first time, someone on Twitter, and then I met a couple more people there that I've saw before at Bar Camp last in April. So it was a really great experience. Have you ever been to an Apple Store grand opening, Nick?
No, we only have one Apple Store in Australia, and that opened up.
I know that was recently, wasn't it? Like,
Yeah, that was recently, but no, I didn't go up there for that. I have been up there now. Amazing, isn't it?
I know. I have a friend over there in Australia. His name is Ben Grubb. He's from Tech AU, and he's got an iPhone just like you, and he does that podcast Tech AU. So checking him out later. But so I mean, yeah, I've heard lots of things about the Australia store. So I mean, and the day of the iPhone launch in Australia, and I mean, I don't know about over there, but here, I mean, the prices for the plans are fairly good. How are the prices over there for, I know the prices over there are not really good.
Well, you think they should be good thing that we have three service providers providing plan for it, but no, not really. We don't have any unlimited data plans, which is annoying. So I only have 500 megabytes, and the three people we have doing it is Vodafone, Telstra, and Optus, And Telstra just, they're like the biggest mobile company in Australia. They own all the telephone lines and everything, but they're just ripping everyone off. It was owned by the government and they sold it. And now they're just ripping everyone off. So I wouldn't go with Telstra. Vodafone, they have crap coverage, so I wouldn't go with them. So Optus are giving you the best plans and they're not bad. And I'm having to pay $59 a month for 2 years, and I get $350 worth of calls and 500 megabytes of data usage a month.
What about your texting?
That's included in the $350.
Like unlimited or not?
No, I have $350 of call, text, and
That
stuff, so.
that's really cool. That's really cool. All right, so also iPhone 2.1 beta 4 was seeded and it removes the push notification services. Does d do some bug fixes, so that's really good for all of us, because I mean I've had a lot of bugs and I'm still having bugs. Like the other day I was trying to open up an application and I couldn't open the application, so that was I mean so that was that needs to be fixed between both the application and Apple. I mean there really wasn't that much news this week on for Apple. I mean for Mac, iPhone. I mean also Mac Daily News spoke via MSNBC, and people were several GPS manufacturers are like developing turn-by-turn GPS solutions for the iPhone. So I mean that would be good for the people that drive. Did you see the do you have in your app store the Graphas GPS kit?
No. No, I don't have that.
Because I'm looking here, and this is on Mac Rumors, by the way. I'll put links. It's for iPhone and provides your most advanced GPS functionality and tracking for your iPhone dashboard. See real-time information, tracks, saves your path, view in Google Maps or Earth waypoints, save points for interest, and it's only $9.99. It's called GPS Kits or
Oh,
Gra
sorry, yeah, we do have that.
All right.
I just had a look.
Actually, all right, here. It's $9.99. There's only other applications on the App Store that provide portions of similar functionality. There's the GPS tracker. It's free and it's real-time tracking service. Speed. It's just free and it's a real-time speedometer. Path tracker. It's real-time stats. Saves your path for runners and bikers. That's 99 cents. I mean, so there's a bunch of list and there's a video demo for the GPS kit of how it works, and I will link that up on the show notes. So I guess you were going to talk about an application that you mostly use or that you like.
Well, one that I came across, which is interesting and just shows the different things that are, coming out for the iPhone, because it's all this touch, is a writing pad. And what makes it different from all the difference from all the other note-taking pads? To write on this one, you drag your finger from each letter. So it's just like if you're writing like what, you just drag your finger from W, H, A, T. And in a way, it makes it faster, but I don't know if I would use it, seeing that the program itself doesn't, can't do a lot of other things that my other note-taking programs can do.
Yeah, so I mean, you'll give me the you'll and what is the name of that application?
Writing pad,
Writing
one
pad. All
word.
right, I'll look that up and put the link there in the show notes also. A couple applications or an application that came out this week that I was waiting for, most of you were waiting for. It's DataCase. So I mean, what DataCase is, what I call DataCase is a thumb drive application Which, I mean, it's an iPhone file server and viewer. I mean, you can save your data, you can drag and drop it, you can view the files, Mac or PC, there's nothing to install. Yeah, it speaks your language and you can control your access. So, I mean, so I'll link the site and where to get it, and there's a couple of how-to videos on how to get it, but for Mac users, because I'm on Mac right now, so I would go and open the application on my iPhone. So I would open up DataCase. I just opened it up, and then you would open up your Mac and, or actually your Finder or your Macintosh HD, and then you would see here that on your shared under shared it says my name is iPhone. So it would pop up as iPhone, and then I would have different partitions that I've made. And on your iPhone, what you're looking at is a big circle with a file, and you have documents, photos, audio, video, other, and free. And free, I have 8.3 gigs free because I got the 16 gigabyte iPod, and I haven't filled it up yet. And then at the bottom, it gives you the URL, which is my IP address of the iPhone, and it's :8080. And then we got on the lower that is the FTP if you're going to use an FTP application. So, I mean, you got your shared files, and it says, and then as soon as I click on a folder, it says incoming connection from my IP address on my computer, and I allow that, and that's password, like that's like a password. You don't have a password. You have to allow it on the iPhone and on the computer. So, and then I click on another folder, which is a Dropbox, and it asks me to allow the connection again. So I put all my files in there, and I can view them. I mean, they have to be the right kind of files. You can view documents, audio, photos, PowerPoint, documents like Word document, PDF, Excel document. I mean, so there's quite a few things you can use. So I mean, the main features are store your files on your iPhone, view stored files on your iPhone, browse and delete your files from your iPhone. So I mean, if I were to go to a friend's house and he would have a Mac, I could do the, I could like if we were doing a project, I could just put it on my iPhone instead of bringing my computer, and he could get it off of my phone. So I mean, that's a great thumb drive, don't you think?
Yeah, it sounds pretty cool. I have to try that one, really.
Yeah, and that I believe is $6.99 in the App Store. Oh,
$8.99 in the Australia.
it's what?
$8.99 in Australia. So we can get it.
Another one I would so I mean, if you're looking for a thumb drive, I would recommend that. And then I exit out of my iPhone. It says the server hasn't connected, so I mean, my iPhone's no longer on my computer. So another one I want to recommend is File Magnet, and this one's currently for Mac users. File Magnet, it's exactly the same as DataCase. I mean, I use File Magnet more than I use DataCase. That's just because I just click on File Magnet in my dock. It's an application, and it says drag files here for future transfer for your iPhone. So my iPhone's not the future. The File Magnet on the iPhone's not open, so I can just drag the files. Or I can click on the add button and it'll bring up the browse and it'll find the application that I want, which is great. And I can click on the question mark and that takes me to their website. So Magnet is M Studios is the website. And for DataCase, it's viosoft.com. Those will be in the show. So those are my two favorite apps that I've been using constantly. I mean, so that's great. So do you have anything else in the tech world, Nick, to add in?
Not really.
You need to keep an eye out for news like that. Have you on every other week or something like that? Well, but I'm not gonna, yeah, on Saturdays because I start school. All right. So this has been a wonderful episode of the Apple Juice Show. You can follow me, gdrage, on Twitter, twitter.com/gdrage, and you can follow Nick at twitter.com/.
Marley24,
Can you spell that out first?
Marzy24. 24,
24. All
24.
right. So that will be in the show notes too, as well. Everything will be in the show notes. Thank you very much, and for being on this episode with us, Nick. And if you guys
Thanks for
haven't
having me.
seen, all right. If you guys haven't seen, the new site has been redesigned, and that's thanks to Dredge Web Solutions, my company, dredgesolutions.com. And we can also give thanks to Ryan Collins for helping out with the design. And you can follow him at Ryan_Collins on Twitter, twitter.com/Ryan_Collins. So thank you, Ryan, for helping me out with that. This has been the Apple Juice Show, episode 16 for Sunday, August 17th, 2008.